Encourage you to turn to Numbers chapter 28 and 29 today. Remember the Lord all year long. Well, let's put some context in this passage. You know that Israel is staged in the plains of Moab. And if you've been to Israel, you'd be standing in Jericho today, looking east. And you look across the Jordan River, and several miles on the other side of the Jordan River is the beginning of the plains of Moab, as the valley winds its way up into the mountains of Jordan today. And that's where the 1.5 million to possibly 2 million Israelites have been staged for quite a while, a number of months now, and a lot of things have happened while they've been ensconced there in the huge valley. Many people think that this is the time when Moses finished up the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is a fascinating book, 34 chapters long, and it's a series of four lectures that Moses gave over a period of time to the Israelites as they neared the end of their journey in the wilderness. And he has those recorded in the book of Deuteronomy. A lot of it is pedantic, you know, it's just kind of teaching and information given to the people as they prepare to enter the land. And so he's probably doing some of that while Israel is staged in the plains of Moab. But another thing happens while they're there, and this is what we're going to look at today. There's another stage of preparation for the Israelites as they are poised to enter into the promised land. That's the next step for them. And it involves organizing things. And one of the things that's being organized is the sacrificial system the Israelite is going to practice, the Israelites, that God will require the priest to offer on behalf of the whole nation during the entire calendar year. So once Israel establishes itself in the land of Canaan, and there's still a lot to go on, okay? We have 12 to 17 years worth of battles yet ahead of them. They haven't even crossed the Jordan River yet, haven't even begun to fight the Canaanites and to possess the land. That's all still ahead of them. They have a lot of work ahead of them yet. But when they finally establish themselves and the tribes are allocated their pieces of real estate and they migrate to those territories and begin to settle down as tribes under the banner of Israel, they're going to begin to practice the entire sacrificial system on a yearly basis. And before they do that, these two chapters reiterate what that's supposed to look like and why it's supposed to happen. What we're going to discover is that these offerings were for the purpose of maintaining Israel's fellowship with God. Now, these two chapters contain a list of the minimum number of sacrifices that they were to offer each year. It's kind of mind-blowing when you get into it. For the nation as a whole and for individuals in the nation. Now, individuals could come and also bring and did bring their sacrifices, other sacrifices, in addition to these yearly, this yearly calendar. Look at verse 39. Of chapter 29, because we're doing 28 and 29 today. So look at the very last verse of chapter 29. He says to the people, "You shall present these to the Lord at your appointed times." That is, this entire sacrificial yearly system that God's going to establish. But notice, besides that, you bring your votive offerings and your free will offerings for your burnt offerings, for your grain offerings, for your drink offerings, and for your peace offerings. So, in addition to this yearly calendar we're going to look at that God establishes for the nation to maintain their fellowship with God, were all of these individual offerings you could bring anytime you wanted to, depending on how devout you were. And you could bring, and each of these offerings have different meanings. We're not going to get into that this morning. But you could personally, as an individual, bring extra offerings for a variety of reasons to Jerusalem and do that. So with all that in mind, the real key to the successful conquest of Canaan and their happy living within the borders that will be established is if they continue in their fellowship with God. That will be the basis of a successful conquest and happy living for them within the borders. Maintaining continual fellowship with the Lord. Hence, it was that God at this time decided and presented to this new generation. Remember, the old generation's passed away. So now we have this new generation poised to enter into the land. And God, by way of Moses, finalizes this complete set of regulations for offerings. Now, it's already been made previously. It was given to Moses at Mount Sinai. All right, in Exodus chapter 20 through 21, 22. But the old generation that received it passed away, so it's now being reiterated, you know. Repetition is what? They often say the mother of all learning. Yep. So they're going to be repeated. It's going to be reiterated again. And notice in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 28, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying to this new generation, command the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be careful to present my offering, my food for my offerings by fire of a soothing aroma to me at their appointed time. And that's what these two chapters are all about. Understanding the cycle of an entire year's worth of sacrifices and offerings made in Jerusalem at the altar by the priest on behalf of the nation. And God says, this will be my food for my offerings by fire, a soothing aroma to me. And we'll look at all that in a moment. But the point here is, the observance of these offerings and sacrifices would encourage an intimate worship of God by the people in the land. That's the point. Maintaining fellowship, intimate worship of God through this sacrificial system that God has established amongst the people. Now, what's interesting is the arrangement in which Moses listed the sacrifices. He does it by their frequency. Okay, so look at verse 3. These are the daily offerings that are to be offered as a part of the sacrificial system. Notice it says in the end of verse 3, as a continual burnt offering every day. So there are to be daily offerings and sacrifices as a part of the maintenance of fellowship with God. But notice in verse 9, then on the Sabbath day you'll offer two males. Verse 10, a burnt offering of every Sabbath. So now we have weekly offerings and sacrifices that are part of the sacrificial calendar in the nation. And then if you go down to verse 11, then at the beginning of each of your months, you shall present a burnt offering. And verse 15, to the continual burnt offering. So there are to be monthly offerings and sacrifices that are to be offered. Daily, weekly, monthly. Now you can see why we have the whole tribe of Levi with about 22,000 male priests who are taking the responsibility to participate in the sacrificial system on behalf of the people in Jerusalem. You know, you can't just have five people do this during the year. They got to rotate it around. So they had the Levites had a system where every 2 weeks they were being replenished with new priests from one of the tribes in the country to carry on the sacrificial system. I mean, it's a dirty business. You know, you're talking about slitting the throats of animals, cutting the meat up, burning it on altars, going through the rituals related to that, and all of the other sacrifices people brought, all during the times of the day and night. So it's an elaborate setup for the purpose of maintaining fellowship with God In addition to that, there are yearly sacrifices that are done once a year. And notice the first one is in verse 16. It's the Passover. Every year, the Passover. And then, along with the Passover, there's, in verse 17, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which went on for 7 days. The Passover started on Sabbath, and then for the next 6 days or so, you would go through the Feast of Unleavened Bread, then it would finish with the next Sabbath. So it was a whole week where the whole country stopped all that it was doing and focused on Passover, and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's in verse 16. That's a yearly one. And then in verse 26 was the Day of the First Fruits, which was another yearly sacrifice that they offered. And in the end of verse 31, they were to offer their animals without defect as a part of this. So they would celebrate the first fruits on a yearly basis. Then we go to verse 29, and we have what's called the Feast of the Trumpets, the blowing of trumpets. And that is elaborately explained throughout this chapter. They go through each of the days, starting in verse 12, and then verse 17, we have the second day, verse 20, the third day, verse 23, the fourth day, verse 26, the fifth day, verse 29, the sixth day, verse 32, the seventh day, and verse 35, the eighth day. So an elaborate celebration on the Feast of Trumpets, which was a yearly sacrifice and offering. So you can see the sacrificial system that God established to maintain fellowship with the people was established by an agricultural calendar. Basically, Israelites were living as farmers, and they were to live off the land in the cycles of nature, and God used all of that as a constant perpetual reminder to the Israelites of the need to maintain fellowship with Him once they were in the land. All right? So, with all of that said, let me make two more observations for you that are important. Beginning of verse 2 of chapter 28, God says that these offerings are to be a soothing aroma to me. And I think that's said some 9 or 10 times in these two chapters. And we're going to talk about that in a moment, why that was important. It's a soothing aroma to God. But also notice something else, and I believe I have that in starting in verse... Oh, let's see here, because I want to make sure you see it. Verse 22 of chapter 28, to make atonement for you. And that's stated a number of times as well in these two chapters, to make atonement. So when the sacrifices are offered to maintain fellowship with God, it did two things. It was to God, it was a soothing aroma, and to the people, it was an atonement. Both are vital to maintain fellowship. And we're going to learn about that as we go through here. So, these sacrifices were intended to nurture the spiritual vitality of the people in at least two ways. And I want to talk about those two ways in the rest of my message. First of all, your spiritual walk should be a daily priority. That's one thing that we pick up as we go through these two chapters. To nurture the spiritual vitality of the people, God put a sacrificial agricultural calendar in place so that the people would make their walk with Him a daily priority. That's the first thing we walk away with here. Now, in the first 15 verses of chapter 28, we mentioned the daily sacrifices, the Sabbath sacrifices, and the monthly sacrifices. Each of those were to include sacrifice of animals, without defect, the first of the flock, sacrifice of grain and offerings, and meal offerings, and also drink offerings. They were all to accompany these daily, weekly, and monthly sacrifices. And each had specific instructions. They were to be burned up or poured out, but not to be consumed by the priests. And God called these my food or bread, my offerings, which were not for the priests. These were for God. So in some way, these nourished God by the people's commitment to establish themselves on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis in their walk with God. It was nourishing to God in some way for this to be taking place amongst His people. In verses 3 and 4, the daily sacrifices, He says, those offered every day, was to be kept burning. Notice it says, a continual burnt offering every day. But we know that each morning the priest would have to clean the grill. They just have to do that so they can put new offerings on the altar. You have stuff all burnt all day long, all piled all around the altar, within the altar. They have to clean the whole thing up. So they would have people come and clean it. The Levites that would be part of the entourage there taking care of the worship. So you might be one of the Levites picking up some of the stuff or putting it in carts and hauling it over outside the gate of Jerusalem to what's called the Valley of Hinnom, which is a valley where you dumped everything, and it would dump it over and down into the valley, and you would be continually smoldering as they would be burning the stuff down there on a constant basis, which is the same valley Jesus looked to and referred to when He was talking about death and Hades and hell. That was the imagery that was being utilized. So the idea of continual burning offerings is more of a regular offering. And notice in verse 4, they were to offer the one lamb in the morning and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, meaning that all of these took place between dusk, at least this last part, and when they were finished up between dusk and dark in verse 4 is when they would offer the last of the offerings daily. In verses 5 and 6, nine times it says in the rest of the chapters, not just in verse 5 and 6, but it says a soothing aroma to me. In the sense that as the offerings were being made and sacrifices given, that the efficacy of the sacrifices in maintaining fellowship with the people was a soothing aroma to God. They were in fellowship together. See, when you get to Isaiah chapter 1, now let's say we're about 1300 BC, okay? When we're in Numbers 28. Flash forward to about 730 BC. All right, so what, 600 years later, something like that? God says in Isaiah chapter 1, I am sick and tired of your sacrifices. I hate your offerings. They're a stench in my nostrils. And the reason God would say that is because no longer were the people participating in fellowshipping with God. Oh yeah, they went through the rituals, but they also did that with the idols they had in their home or with the idols they had in their backyard up on a little hill. Or they would ignore the system only when it was convenient for them. They would never deal with their sin, never called it such, never felt it needed to be managed 600-700 years later. And God said, all that you're doing is a stench in my nostrils. God's original intention, of course, is that this whole system set up to maintain fellowship amongst God and His people was a soothing aroma to Him. Paul takes the same language in the New Testament and to talk about how we should live as imitators of Christ. He says in Ephesians 5:2, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. So Christ's sacrificial death was a pleasing aroma to God because the Father was honored by the Son's faithfulness, and thus the same today as we follow the example of Christ and love one another. It's a soothing aroma. to God. God doesn't want us hating each other. God doesn't want us tolerating one another. He wants us loving one another. And when we are vested in the best interest of one another, it's a soothing aroma to our Father in heaven. Now, with the weekly offerings, starting in verse 7, they included things like a drink offering. Matter of fact, he says in verse 7, pouring out of strong drink and wine. So a lot of people would bring strong drink or wine, which represented the vitality of the vine that was being harvested in the land. They would bring that and pour it out before the Lord as an offering. Animals were to be offered, it says, without defect in verse 9, as a requirement that reminded every Israelite, when they brought their sacrifice of an animal without blemish, of God's perfections. Now, we're not just here, you know, maintaining fellowship with the big man upstairs. It was nothing trivial like that. When they offered an animal without defect, it was the best of their flock or their herd, and it represented the fact that they were making an offering to the God of gods without imperfections. And the burnt offering of every Sabbath, it says, in verse 10, I think, was a weekly ritual that related to the regular cycle of life, you know. A regular cycle of life is usually a week. And the Sabbath sacrifices placed a frame of reference between the beginning of the week and the ending of the work week. So that you would understand that you weren't born to work, you were born to live. It just happens to be that work is one of the things you do, but it's not what you're about. So God put a parameter on it and said, listen, we're going to frame your week with a couple of Sabbaths so you don't become a workaholic. So you don't pursue nothing but anything but wealth. Parameters on that, so you can kind of change your cadence and take stock of your life, and you know, check things out and do some examination. And God purposely did that for the people. Verses 11 to 15. Then we have the beginning of your months, offerings related to the cycle of every 30 days or so. And the sacrificial calendar, I said, was essentially agricultural in nature. And what this did is it kept God in front of them as they plowed their land every month, as they planted seed every month, as they harvested its produce every month, as they saw the birthing in their herds or their flocks monthly. Nine times, or it's in these verses, in verses 11 through 15, it describes the offering. I got them all circled, verses 11 to 15. Offering, offering this, offering that, offering here, offering there. The month was to be filled with offerings that the people would bring. Burnt offerings, verse 11. Grain offerings, verse 12. Sin offerings, verse 15. And the nature of it being an offering made it something the people were to give to God in recognition of His presence amongst them. It was giving as an offering, not an obligation. It was something that you would bring. Sometimes you'd bring something more one month than you would another month, especially during the times of harvest, which is usually two or three times a year in Israel. That you would be harvesting and bringing those offerings during the month. His presence amongst the people was meant to be an offering, not an obligation. So it depended on your heart, you see. By the time you get to Isaiah chapter 1, it was just an obligation. It was something they did, you know. And God said, what is this stench in my nostrils? He's just going through the motions, just like people today who go to a church service and carry a holy Bible with them, but on Monday they're still the same wretched person they were on Friday. And they perpetuate that for years. But they go to church, they attend Maranatha in the summer, they carry a holy Bible with them, they listen to Christian music, But they're spiritually wretched. Going through the motions. What's going on? God says, it's a stench in my nostrils. God intended the people to grow up in intimate fellowship with Him. That was the point of this system. And God hasn't changed His desires for us today. Listen to this. The New Testament commands, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:25. Walk in Christ. Colossians 2:6. Walk in a manner worthy of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. We too are responsible to stay in fellowship with God. We can stray. We can wander. You know the old song, we're prone to wander. So, God says, you know, I'm putting this system together because I want my people to take their spiritual walk seriously. I want it to be a daily priority. So is it a daily priority for you? What did you do this week to maintain your fellowship with God? What'd you do? What did it look like? Were you deliberate about it? Just as deliberate as God asking the Israelites to be? Did you get up some morning this week and say to yourself, you know, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to find a way to do that and honor my God. I mean, what are you doing to maintain your fellowship with God? You're responsible for that, not me. I got to do my own. I got a tough enough job for me. What are you doing? What does it look like? If God were here today, would He say, yes, I'm in fellowship with you. Your life is a soothing aroma in my nostrils. Or would He say, you know what, it's a stench. What would He say? We're to maintain our fellowship with God, and that's a daily responsibility. What are you doing about it weekly? What are you doing about it monthly? How's it looking? Is it a priority for you? You see, that's the question we're forced to ask ourselves. We're not here to play games. This is real business. This is life and death issues. This is eternal in nature. You are living to prepare yourself for your eternal life. What's that preparation looking like? What attitude you got to deal with? What sin you got to repent of? What relationships do you need to forgive? What is it in your life that you need to deal with and honor God? Ultimately, you're accountable to Him, nobody else. All right, enough of that preaching. I'm getting convicted. Here's the second idea, and this will tie it up with the yearly stuff. Your fellowship with God requires increased dedication. See, that's what these yearly sacrifices were for, to increase the people's dedication about key components of their relationship with God and the fellowship needed to maintain it. Look at verses 16 to 25. We have the Passover. Now, I'm not going to talk a lot about it. We have Easter coming up. We'll talk more about it then. But it's described in the Bible three times. Exodus chapter 12, Leviticus chapter 23, and here in Numbers chapter 28. The Passover lambs, of course, were slaughtered, it says, I think in verse 16, on the 14th day of the first month, shall be the Lord's Passover. That's the month of Nisan, N-I-S-A-N. And they're to be roasted and eaten that evening. And then following that, in verse 17, right on the heels of that, the very next day, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days, for the next 6 days till the next Sabbath. And the first day, which is the first Sabbath, and the last day, which is the next Sabbath, were to be a Sabbath of sacrifices. Special sacrifices, verse 18 and verse 25. On the seventh day, verse 25, you shall have a holy convocation. You'll do no laborious work and then offer those sacrifices. By the way, when it says you will do no laborious work in verse 18 and verse 25, because those are the days of Sabbath, it means your occupational work. What you do regularly. Do something else. Doesn't mean do nothing, it means do something else. It means don't go back to the shop. It means don't do what you did the previous 5 days. That's what it means. Take a break, do something different, and include in that day a focus on maintaining your fellowship with God. And all of this was to be done in addition to the regular daily sacrifices. These are just add-ons. Now, it's funny, I was meeting with somebody this week. Who was it? Oh, somebody thinking about getting married. I forget who it was. And they said, you know, what's your advice? My goodness. What is my advice about getting married? Oh, boy, that would take probably a year of discussion. It's great, but, you know, there's a lot to it. And I basically said, well, here's one thing just to keep in mind. All you're doing is adding more responsibility to your life. It's an add-on, okay? So if you want to take on that responsibility, which is a wonderful responsibility, just it's an add-on. You don't get to delete anything to take that on. You're just adding on everything else. So I use the passage where it says, husbands, live your lives in understanding ways as a fellow heir of the grace of life. So understand, when you get married, that doesn't mean you quit treating your wife as a sister in Christ. She's still a fellow heir of the grace of life. It's just that you've compounded that responsibility to her as also being her husband. So you owe her everything you owe any woman in the body of Christ, because she's a fellow heir. She's a sister in Christ. But you also owe her her husbanding. See? So it's an add-on. And the same thing here. These yearly sacrifices were add-ons to the regular things you did to maintain your priority daily in your fellowship with God. These were piled on in new ways to add to that and strengthen and encourage renewed dedication to your fellowship with God. And we know, by the way, that Christ's death as a substitution, as a propitiation, as a reconciliation and a redemption, was once for all. That's what Hebrews 7 tells us. Romans 6 and 1 Peter 3. It was once for all Jesus died for us. And he died when? On the Passover. Which for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years was a prefiguring of Christ, who was the ultimate Passover for judgment from God. So the cross did not just cover our sin, it paid for it. Amen. Otherwise, we have to do a lot of paying. Now, in verses 26 to 31, we now have the next yearly one, which is first fruits. I'm going to say it this way. The first fruit sacrifice and offerings was 50 days after the first Sunday after the first Sabbath, after the Passover, all right? So we get the New Testament. Basically, it was 50 days after Christ's death. Acts describes for us the festival of the first fruits. And this was also to be celebrated on a Sabbath day. He says, as a holy convocation, you shall do no laborious work, and all three animal, grain, and drink offerings will be offered without defect. So that was the calendar up through up to 28. The last one is in chapter 29, which describes for us the fall festivals, and especially this one. Notice in verse 1, now in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall also have a holy convocation. Do no laborious work. This is the offerings of the festival of the trumpets. It will be to you a day for blowing trumpets. This is in the fall festival, seventh day, blowing trumpets, or the new moon festival, it's often called. Required animal and drink and meal offerings. And notice in verse 6, this offering too was for a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. And this is usually in the fall, during the harvest time, a time of joy and celebration, as people are plucking the grapes from the vine and the figs from the trees and the grain from the field, and it's a festive time for the nation in recognition of God's bounty that he supplied to the people. And then we have one other, which is in verse 7. Then on the 10th day of this month, the holy convocation, humble yourselves, do no work. And it is going to be what is traditionally called the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement, when the people humble themselves. And there's no explanation, by the way, for the need to humble themselves, possibly related to the sin offering of atonement in verse 10, which says, a tenth for each of the seven lambs, one male, besides the sin offering of atonement. Possibly the recognition of the potential for sin to break their fellowship with God. They needed to be humble about the reality of that. Possibly related to that, we're not told specifically. The word atonement means to cover. So this is about Israel dealing with covering their sin, any sin that would break fellowship with God. The Day of Atonement took care of it on behalf of the whole nation. Imagine that. The atonement covered sin after the Passover. So it's about maintaining fellowship with God who passed over in judgment. It's not about beginning the relationship as the Passover was. It's about maintaining it as an atonement would deal with our ongoing sin. The atonement is like, by the way, dealing with our sin or one another's sin after salvation. We come to one another in the hopes that they will deal with their sin and receive forgiveness from God. Otherwise, they can be placed under temporal judgment, as Hebrews teaches us. Oh, there's one more yearly one. Sorry about that. I was trying to get to the end of the message as time is ticking. Verse 12 is the Feast of Tabernacles, starting in verse 12. Then on the 15th day of the seventh month, you'll have a holy convocation, no laborious work, observe a feast to the Lord for 7 days as a soothing aroma. So this is the Feast of Tabernacles. It would begin on the Sabbath, and it would end during that period of time. Great number of sacrifices offered, probably to celebrate again the fall harvest in some way, maybe the end of the harvest season, when they would look back and reflect upon all of the harvesting, kind of like we do with Thanksgiving dinner. You know, we're not harvesting at Thanksgiving. We're eating the bounty of the harvest. We're finished with the harvest. It's all done. We think back and reflect on it. And that's what this was all about. In anticipation of the coming new year, when it would all begin again. Every year, by the way, as we conclude this section, these yearly feasts designed to increase their dedication. The daily, weekly, and monthly was to establish a spiritual life as a priority. The yearly ones were to increase their dedication to that through the cycle of the calendar. But here's an interesting thought. Every year, after when they establish themselves in the land, the priest will have to sacrifice, in these yearly sacrifices, 113 bulls to satisfy all the requirements of these yearly sacrifices, 32 rams, 1,086 lambs would be offered during the yearly cycle. And they would offer more than a ton of flour and over 1,000 bottles of oil and wine for these special sacrifices on a yearly basis. Minimally would be offered as God required at a minimal basis at the altar. Well, so what? Let me give you a couple of these and we'll be finished. The purpose, number one, of these sacrifices was to underscore God's holiness. It was to cause each reader to think of the enormity of the offense of their sin against the holiness of God. You know, that was one basic aspect. The holiness of God was constantly in their face. Secondly, the sacrificial system kept them in fellowship with God, by delivering daily atonement for their sinful condition. It would be covered over. The grain offerings would be offered as a dedication to God, and the peace offerings for maintaining fellowship intimately. But notice, each of these require a sacrifice, indicating that the potential is that sin could stand in the way of any of this and had to be acknowledged. See, remember we talked about make atonement for you? So when you were bringing your offering to God or your sacrifices, you were admitting that there was the potential for something to get between you and God, and you wanted to deal with it through the means God supplied. So there was an acknowledgement on your part of the sinfulness of sin in your own life and the damage it could potentially cause. Thirdly, the Passover was the means of payment for sin once a year for Israel and once for all in Christ, by the way, for us. It says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, for Christ our Passover has also been sacrificed. All I can say is praise the Lord that he took care of that. Right? Christ was my Passover. If I trust in Christ, God's judgment passes over me. And then finally, because I have a fourth one I added, sorry. The emphasis on blood, all throughout this chapter, these two chapters, blood, blood, blood. The emphasis on blood highlights the cost of a relationship with God. From God's perspective, it's required due to his nature. Unholy people relating to a holy God doesn't work. If you have an engine with no oil in it, you will call me on the phone as my daughter did 2 weeks ago and say, Dad, my engine stopped working. It doesn't work. You got an engine, you got a car, but you don't have any oil. It doesn't compute. Holy God, unholy people can't compute. So blood, from God's point of view, is required in order to fix that problem. From our perspective, it explains to us the costliness of our sin and the fact that God supplied for that necessity due to his desire to have us as his own. Isn't that amazing? God took care of that necessity. Praise the Lord. So let me encourage you this morning in two ways. Number one, make your fellowship with God your highest priority. I don't know how you have to do that. I don't know what mechanical steps you've got to take to make that happen, but it should be your highest priority. And then flowing out of that is to increase your dedication to your fellowship with God. Increase it today, next month, next year. Well, Father, you've really set the stage for your people to enter into the promised land and to do it in a way that will benefit them in the best possible outcomes. You laid it all out and made it feasible, strategic, and possible. And you've done the same for us in Christ. We are people of Christ. We are people of the way of Christ. And that is so wonderful. Thank you for all the attendant blessings that come. May we be committed to fellowshipping with you daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, and may that dedication to fellowship increase with the days and months and years ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.